that the electroweak theory was correct. The Stockholm newspaper, Dagens Nyheter, even announced in 1975 that Salam and I would win the Nobel Prize for Physics that year. We did not. One may ask why the acceptance of the validity of the electroweak theory was so rapid and widespread. Well, of course, the neutral currents had been predicted, and then they were found. Isn't that the way that any theory becomes established? I do not think that one can look at it so simply. In the first place, neutral currents were nothing new in speculations about weak forces. I once traced the theory of neutral currents back to a 1937 paper by George Gamow and Edward Teller that predicted the existence of weak neutral currents on fairly plausible grounds. There was even previous experimental evidence for neutral currents in the 1960s, but it was never believed. The experimentalists who found evidence of these weak forces always reported it as background. One new thing in 1973 that was of special importance to experimentalists was a prediction that the strength of the neutral current forces had to lie in a certain range. For instance, in one sort of neutrino reaction, they would produce effects 15% to 25% as intense as the ordinary weak forces. This prediction provided a guide to the sensitivity that would be needed in an experimental search for these forces. But what really made 1973 different was that a theory had come along that had the kind of compelling quality, the internal consistency and rigidity that made it reasonable for physicists to believe they would make more progress in their own scientific work by believing the theory to be true than by waiting for it to go away. In one sense, the electroweak theory did enjoy experimental support even before the discovery of neutral currents, because it had correctly retrodicted all the properties of weak forces that had been previously explained by Fermi's theory, as well as all the properties of electromagnetic forces that had been earlier described by quantum electrodynamics. Here again, as in the case of general relativity, one may ask why a retrodiction is to be counted as a success when what is explained had already been explained by an earlier theory. Fermi's theory had explained the features of weak forces by invoking a certain number of arbitrary elements, arbitrary in the same sense that the inverse square law was arbitrary in Newton's theory of gravitation. The electroweak theory explained these elements, like the dependence of the weak forces on the spins of the participating particles, in a compelling way. But it is not possible to be precise about such judgments. It is a matter of taste and experience. Suddenly, in 1976,